And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. I hope you are having a great day out there. I know I sure am. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show? We're going to talk about losing your assets. Ouch. Yeah, losing your assets. What do I mean? Well, we've all lost something important at some time, right? Car keys. Happens to me all the time. I've got that place where I put them, usually, but for some reason I set them down over here. I don't know what the logic is. Can't find them. Gone. Cell phone. Man, that one can, these days, that leads to outright panic, doesn't it? Your wallet. Oh, man. Not too long ago. It was earlier in the year. I left mine on top of the car. At the gas station, finished fueling up, got in the car, drove off, wallet on top. Fortunately, I did find it the next day when I traced my steps, found it in the median. Or maybe that favorite coffee mug. Same thing. I have this bad habit. I put it on the bed of the pickup truck just literally yesterday. I've had this thing for 33 years, something like that, since I graduated high school. It's from my high school alma mater. Bam, exploded on the road when I went cruising down the block. So we've all lost something important. But what about what I really have in mind here, what about financial assets? Yeah, did you know that a lot of people actually misplace or lose, seriously, they lose their 401ks. How do you do that? Yeah, you can do that. They lose their IRAs. Seriously, these things get misplaced. How does that happen? Precious minerals. Yeah, you can lose those too. If I have time, I'll tell you a story there, personal story. But in fact, there really is a lot of lost and unclaimed property out there. And I'm going to tell you, among other things today, how we'll talk a little bit about that 401k and those IRAs. How does that happen? How do you prevent that? And I'll tell you where you can go find some of that unclaimed property if this is something that has impacted you. But more importantly, we're going to talk about a superior asset that I simply cannot misplace. It is not going to go anywhere. And of course, I mean a single family house. Yeah, single family rental property. Single family rental assets, they're fixed in place. Where's it going to go? And that's what we talk about on the show, by the way, is investing in single family houses, rental houses, and apartments. That's all we talk about. We're focused on residential real estate. And today I'm going to focus on the house juxtaposed with those 401ks, those IRAs that some of you are misplacing out there somehow. And among other things, that house it's superior in many ways, right? It's not going anywhere, first and foremost. But did you know it creates both cash flow and it can be wealth building? We make money five ways on that single family rental house. Right, there's cash flow. I collect rent. I pay the expenses. The net that I keep every month, that is my profit. That is cash flow. On any given house in the markets we're investing at the moment, you might net anywhere from $200 to $600 per month on one house. And then there's the equity side. And you know, the process of, if you've never done this before, you may think this is a daunting thing to go out and buy a rental house. Well, I've gone out and done that over a dozen years again and again and again, because what happens is you figure out that the very process of finding that house, sourcing it, acquiring it, renovating it, because we are typically buying houses that need work, and then managing that rental property once it's leased, is much easier than you probably picture in your mind. It's much easier than you may think, which means it's very easy to go on and do that second one, buy that second rental property, and then that third one. And then that fourth one. And before you know it, you own single family houses across town, or maybe like I, across the state, maybe across the nation. And each one of those is creating cash flow. And now that cash flow doubles because you've acquired a second one, and then it triples. And before you know it, you're pulling down $1,000 a month in passive income. It becomes $2,000 and more. And again, those equity plays, they're accelerating as well, because now you don't have just one asset where you've captured equity, created equity, let's say, and you have equity buildup as that resident pays down your mortgage, etc. you've got that occurring across multiple assets, and you watch your wealth boom, boom. It really grows. I've seen this happen, like I said, over a dozen years. I joined Lifestyles Unlimited as a member coming up on 13 years back in March of 2012. I'm really, really glad I did. Bought that first rental house later that year, bought the second one later that year, bought a third one not too long after that, had a year after that where I bought five. So this cash flow, the equity growth, the wealth building that I'm telling you about right now, it really happens. That's what got me retired. That's what helped me and my wife achieve our financial freedom. And it's interesting, I just was scrolling the financial news. I think this was on Yahoo Finance. I came across an article. I have it printed out here. It says, it's titled this way, Retirement Expert. 401ks have a, quote, portability failure. And that's a problem for employees. And I'd heard this before, that people misplace or lose these financial accounts. And it's a little puzzling to me. And here they're specifically targeting the 401k. And I'm going to tell you this article, it's a little bit of an advertisement that they're soft sell for them, I'll tell you. But some interesting numbers in here. Now, you have to consider the 401k. This is it's been around for a little bit, not quite as long as I have. It was introduced in 1978. It doesn't have widespread access to everybody. Not everybody can have a 401k. It depends on your employer, but about 50% of workers do. And there are other variations out there. If you hear Al Gordon, he'll talk about the variation they had in the military. Teachers obviously have their version, etc. But we have these 401ks. We put our funds in. We let the employer suck those out of our check every month. Whole different issue. Build up a pot of gold there within that 401k, and then something happens. We lose the job, we move to another company. We are becoming increasingly mobile in that sense as Americans. We're not sticking around in one place like we used to be, hence the portability failure, meaning it's hard to move this 401k. And the article goes on to outline four things that typically happen when you move your job. Right. When you leave one employer for another. Number one, they say some people just they leave that 401k there with that employer. And this is where the problems start. In fact, they say about 25% of all assets in 401k plans are abandoned or lost. About 29 million people, it says, that have lost, again, quote their term, lost their 401k plan because they walk away from the plan, from the employer, and simply forget about it. Now, my wife, when she left her prior employer, when she retired, we got financially free, and got her retired first, about 3 years after we started doing this thing. Remember, I joined Lifestyles in 2012. End of 2015, I got that email from her, that call from her saying, I got to get out of here. Do it. We're ready. Go. So she left the employer, and she left her 401k plan just sitting there. Now, we didn't lose it. We're a little more financially astute than that, and kept an eye on that thing, of course. But that's number one. That's typically what happens. People just leave it there. What others do, number two, they roll that 401k out of that employer and into an IRA. Okay. About, as they say here, about $800 billion has been rolled from 401k plans into IRAs. Number three, they say a tiny segment of people choose to roll into that new employer's 401k plan. When I left my prior company, a farm equipment manufacturer, in 2010, and found work at another company in 2011, that's exactly what I did. I took that small 401k, was a small number, and rolled it into the plan of that new employer. Just made sense to me, easier, one place, don't have to worry about it. But apparently few people do that. Fourth thing people do, they just cash it out. Now, if you listen to this show and you listen to us at all, we think that's the best option. Get that money out of there so you have more control. Yeah, you might pay some, you'll pay some taxes on it, and depending on your age, you may pay a 10% penalty. I eventually went that route, pulled that out. And because we do live in the state of Texas and it is a common property state, we are able to use what is called a quadro, a 401k partition. And basically, I bequeath those to my wife through effectively a divorce on paper, right? She owns it, she can pull it out and avoid that 10%. So, no, that's out there. You do have options, but ultimately that is, of those four choices, the best way to go. But that aside, by the way, this article does go on to say they prefer number two, roll that into an IRA. Why is that? Well, they are IRA administrators. But I found that interesting, and it got me really, it took me down the rabbit hole. I got to thinking about this, I got to looking at it, And, okay, if people are losing their 401ks out there, what else are they losing? It seems same thing happens to IRAs. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you want to differentiate between a 401k and an IRA, if you lose or lose track of a retirement savings account, say from that job you held, you know, two decades prior or whenever it was, it's easier to find an IRA than a 401k. Yeah, it's easier to find that IRA. Why is that? It's due to something called ERISA, right? ERISA requirements. ERISA stands for Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And as a part of that act, the administrators of a 401k plan, they're held to different standards than those that manage an IRA. And the ERISA in its language, it prevents holding institutions, the sundry providers of 401k plans, et cetera, from sending checks to anybody but the beneficiary. And that's not true of IRAs. And what they can eventually do, if we're talking about an IRA, is send those checks to an organization called NAUPA, N-A-U-P-A. So I'm learning a lot of stuff alongside you here. What that stands for is National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators. Yeah, there's a group out there called NAUPA, the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators. So here we are. We're going a little bit farther down the rabbit hole. But I think this is where it's going to get interesting for you, because you may well have some unclaimed property out there. Maybe it's not that 401k. Maybe it's not that IRA, but it may be something else. I'm very, very focused on this here. NAUPA, by the way, the members include all 50 states of the United States, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Several of the Canadian provinces are members, right? We've got people moving across the borders. And Kenya. Okay, I don't know why Kenya's in there as well. Those are the members of NAUPA. And I'll tell you, I've not checked all 50 states, but I did go out and check Texas, where I reside. And I checked Tennessee, because we have a lot of members investing in Tennessee right now. So that popped into my mind. And they do indeed have divisions that are dedicated to unclaimed property. And you may well have some unclaimed property out there. Now, we're going to head into a break here in just a moment, so I'm going to pause. And when we come back from the break, I want to tell you where you can go, at least here in Texas. We're going to dive into that a little bit to see if you have any missing financial assets out there that belong to you. Yeah, you may very well. I did a search on my name, and I was a little surprised at what I found. And you may be as well. So again, if you have any questions, send those to me at askandy@luinc.com, and we will be right back.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and I thank you for tuning in today. Hey, we're talking today about losing assets, losing financial assets. Just a little bit of a rabbit hole I went down recently. Surprised at the number of people that have misplaced or lost their 401k accounts. It happens. May have happened to you. You had that job years ago, were there for a couple of years, put the money away dutifully like everybody's told to do into that 401k, moved on to the next job after that, and you can see why if you didn't do anything with that 401k account back then, it may have just gone by the wayside. And I want to go back to what I said about the IRAs. They are easier to find because ERISA, we talked about that in the prior segment, it doesn't prevent those financial institutions from reporting or sending any uncashed IRA checks to those property administrators, right? Those unclaimed property administrators, those people that are members of NAUPA, right? National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators, your state, right? The state where you live. It's interesting. This is a little bit old. This article itself that I'm pulling this data from was 2021, and they cite a 2019 Department of Labor report. It says about $100 million in retirement checks go uncashed every year. right? They're not getting to their destination. Maybe you've moved, something has happened. And so ultimately what they'll do is push those out to that state administrator. It's a big number. That's a pretty big number. So if it's your IRA, state administrator may have that. 401k accounts cannot do that. That's the big message here. So you've really got to keep an eye on that. Now, let's talk about some of that unclaimed property. I found this very interesting. Here in Texas, and every state should have one of these divisions. But since I'm in Texas, I naturally looked at Texas. And here in Texas, we have, it's called Texas Unclaimed Property. It's a division of the Texas Comptroller. And if you don't know what a comptroller is, that's a part of the state government that handles accounting and financial reporting. They collect taxes and fees, stuff like that. In fact, if you go out and form an LLC for some reason, you would file with the comptroller. We talked on last week's show about why you don't need to do that as a real estate investor, by the way, when we're talking single family houses. If you missed that show, go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click on the podcast tab. But those are things you do at the comptroller. And one of the things they do is they have a division that tracks this unclaimed property. And I just did a search for the keywords Texas unclaimed property. I came to their website and naturally I was curious. I'm going to look at my name, Andrew Webb. Now, you might be surprised to find out that is not exactly an uncommon name. I got a lot of results back, multiple pages, and it gives somebody's name, Andrew Webb here. He lives in Austin. He's got $28 in unclaimed money out there. It says specifically related to Austin Community College. I never went to Austin Community College, so that doesn't relate to me. It's some kind of a refund. Right, and you can scroll through it. Water Park Management Incorporated, payment for goods or services. Some Andrew Webb out there is due $88.98 from 2009. Right, there's no statute of limitations, by the way, on these unclaimed funds. The state's just going to sit on them, and I presume they cash them. I don't know, and make interest, earn interest on them. But small numbers and pretty big numbers. Here's one: $1,322.43 for a certain Andrew Webb, also in Austin. Now, I reside in Dallas-Fort Worth. That's not me. It's interesting. I did live in Austin for a while, and I got all the debt collector calls for some other Andrew Webb out there that had bad credit, didn't pay his bills, and naturally they tracked me down. So there are a lot of us out there, and there's a lot of unclaimed money for Andrew Webb. Not this guy. Here's another one, $953. From National Lloyds Insurance Company. It's a premium refund. So if you've had a policy out there, you canceled that insurance, they tried to send that insurance check to you, why would you cancel that? Well, you probably moved, and you didn't tell them. And they have your old address, and they don't know where to send it. And they try, and eventually they send it to the state administrator. So if you're curious, you might go, if you're in Texas, you know, again, type in Texas Unclaimed Property, find that website, put in your name. It's pretty interesting. You may find some stuff out there. Now, other key points of interest perhaps I found on this site anyhow. Should I work with a company to try to recover these? You don't have to. There are companies that will help you with that. They do have, at least in Texas, have to be licensed, and they cannot charge you more than 10% of the value. So you could engage somebody to comb through. Again, this goes on and on and on. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time looking for $20 refunds. Personally, I make a lot more money on my single family houses. But you could pay somebody to do that. There is no statute of limitations. If you've lost an IRA or, not a 401k account, but an IRA account, that stuff could really be stacking up. By the way, what falls under Texas unclaimed property? Now, they got a fact here, frequently asked questions. That's a dividend, payroll, cashier checks, you know, stuff like that. Stocks, bonds, mutual fund accounts, right? Those IRAs, utility deposits, other refunds that you may have, when we heard water park something rather there, bank accounts, safe deposit box contents, insurance proceeds, mineral interest, royalty payments from those, court deposits, trust fund, escrow accounts, overpayments on insurance, on utilities, on other bills. There are a lot of medical things that I saw in there, by the way. The list goes on, right? A lot of things that fall under that category. You know what doesn't fall under there? Specifically right here. Unclaimed property does not include real estate or vehicles. Okay. Real estate does not fall under unclaimed property. It's not personal property. That's the big notion here, even though vehicles may be. So can I lose my rental property in the same way that I lose or could lose a 401k or an IRA? I think that's the message today. No, not really. If this whole portability thing blows your mind, number one, like it blew mine, that so much money goes lost this way, this really won't happen with a single-family rental house. It's not going to go anywhere in most cases. Now, I do know a guy that moved a couple of pier and beam houses from where they were in Fort Worth to somewhere out in the country. Yeah, you've probably seen them moving houses across the country, right? It happens. But I can tell you, none of the houses I've ever invested in, especially the ones sitting on slab foundations, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. It is real estate, right? In German, it's called Immobilien. It is not movable. It's real estate. In fact, you hear us say it all the time. All real estate is local. If we're talking about statistics at the national level, I will always remind you, disregard what you're hearing in the press about the national numbers, because all real estate is local. That house is where it sits, and it is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Just a quick aside, we talked about some sundry financial assets. Unfortunately, there's one asset that the Texas unclaimed property site cannot help me with. I'm just going to relate a quick story to you. Years and years ago, I was in college. I mentioned down in Austin. I was a Longhorn. I was down there in Austin, and my dad had a conversation with my mom, my family, and said, hey, he was a real cautious guy. You know, I grew up, we had those bins of food in the closet that were dried apples and dried bananas, preparing, right? Preparing for things that might occur. And one of the things he did is he went out and he buried some assets, gold bars and silver bars. He told my mom, and then he went and had a heart attack a few months later. I laugh not because, you know, just the situation is comical today, but we never found that stuff. We lost financial assets because this guy went and buried it, and he was very thorough. He didn't bury it 2 feet deep. He buried it beyond where you would bury a grave. It was down there somewhere. Never found it. So yeah, people lose 401ks, people lose IRAs. We lost some sort of minerals, don't know how much. It happens. But the good news with real estate, not going to happen. But I do get the question. What about home title theft? If you listen to any AM radio, maybe it's on FM as well, you hear all kinds of advertisements about people opening, creating deeds in your name, right? Forging your name and opening, creating mortgages, stealing your home title, etc. Is it something to worry about? If I'm buying a lot of single family rental houses, is that something I need to worry about? Well, again, there are lots of companies out there beating that fear drum, getting you scared, getting you nervous. You could lose your house. You could lose your equity. But the reality is it's very, very uncommon. I looked at some stats per the FBI. I don't have any for 2024. Just a couple to quote for you. In 2022, the FBI reported about 11,700 complaints of real estate fraud. This is both around home ownership and rental fraud. That includes home title theft, but other things as well. So that doesn't mean that's all home title theft incidences in 2022. In 2023, that dropped to 9,500. So it's not a big number. It's pretty uncommon. And the really good news is that, as you know, some of the things that came out of the last financial crisis, lenders got a lot more thorough, right? They've become a lot more thorough in doing their due diligence when they're issuing new mortgages, new loans. So if it's a good lender, they're checking this stuff. If it's a good title company that's managing the process, right, they're digging into. I know when I go to when I'm buying a house or when I'm doing a cash out refinance on a house, I've got to bring all kinds of identity and there's a ton of paperwork. So there are a lot of checks and balances in place to prevent this sort of thing. And the fact beyond that is that as owners of real estate, we are routinely, and I use this in air quotes, touching our properties, at least digitally, right? Here in Texas, what's coming up real soon? You know, we're going to talk about this here in a couple weeks, a month or so. Tax protest season. Yeah, you're going to start to get those documents from the county appraisal district. I know what I do. First thing I do is I go out to the county appraisal district website, see what I can see, learn what I can learn. I'm going to see things when I'm out there, right? That's kind of a cross check. Is it still in my name, right? I'm not actively thinking that, but naturally I will see if something has changed. And of course, when we do lease renewals, I go to the CAD. I just like to see the county appraisal district again, just to check things. So the point is, there are times in the process where we're engaging with on the digital side, and we can check that nothing's changed. And it gets even better because some of the, I don't know if it's the county appraisal districts, I think it's the county clerks more so that offer these types of programs. But for example, I've got a lot of houses in Tarrant County. And if you're listening out of state, where is Tarrant County? Well, that's where Fort Worth sits. And there are a lot of municipalities around around Fort Worth that are part of Tarrant County, and they offer a program whereby I can register my name. I just told you, Andrew Webb. Boy, there were like 50 pages of unclaimed property on the Texas Unclaimed Property website that popped up. Right, so Andrew Webb, pretty common name, but I'm able to go out and create an account with the county clerk for this service, and anytime any kind of deed of trust, warranty deed, whatever, gets filed with the county clerk, because that's how transfers are realized, is when that is documented with the county clerk. Anytime any document comes up on their radar with my name, I get an email. Did the same thing for my wife. We buy in both our names separately, right? So anytime, and I get these emails from time to time. You know, her name's pretty common too. It gets a little annoying, but when they send that to me, there's a little hyperlink in there. I click on it. It takes me to the warranty deed. It takes me to the deed of trust, whatever that document is that was filed. And I can very quickly see that, oh, there's a middle initial in there. That's a property address, whatever, that is unrelated to any of the assets that we own. So there are programs out there that various counties, not all the counties have that. But I do think that is increasing. I believe Denton County does as well. I'm not sure about Dallas County or Harris or Bear. You can dig into that when you have time. But those programs are out there. So do you need to go out and pay that company that is fear-mongering on the internet, on the radio, wherever you're catching that advertisement, tons of money to protect you from home title theft? I don't think you need to do that. If it helps you sleep better at night, hey, be my guest. But there are lots of ways that we are protected, and it's a very minimal, uncommon form of real estate fraud at the moment anyhow. Okay. So, Andy, what I'm hearing is I'm not going to lose my rental property the same way that I could lose my 401k account or my IRA account, that gold that your dad buried, other financial assets. What about losing value? I'm more concerned about protecting my principal. I'm more concerned about what could happen on the value side of things. Okay, here too, that rental house is superior. Three reasons. Number one, if you've ever heard Del Walmsley, again, he's the founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. If you've ever heard him, he's given a great analogy between the stock market, which is where a lot of your 401k and IRA funds are invested, and real estate. It's the bullet versus the train. That investor in the stock market has a gun to his head, and right before that thing drops, right, someone pulls the trigger, can't get out of the way. It drops. It's fast moving. When the real estate market shifts, you can see it coming. If you've been listening to Dell on the radio at all, you've heard him warn of these things over the years. He's been doing this for a very, very long time. And he'll tell you, get off the track. Train's a-coming. So you can see these things and you can adjust. That's number one. Number two, as investors, we make our own economies. When we invest in apartments and when we invest in single-family rental houses, we buy right. We make our money when we buy because we buy at a discount. We're not paying retail, right? We're going to go out and find that asset that does need work. And because it needs work, we're able to get it at a discount. And through the process of renovating, we add value and we create equity. We call that equity capture. And there's buffer there. Now, my principal that's invested, that's going to be whatever my out-of-pocket is. Maybe it's $20K, maybe it's $10K, maybe it's $30,000, right? It varies depending on the house and the market. We're not going to lose that principal because we've created a huge equity buffer through the process. And I'm seeing a lot of equity in the market right now with single-family houses. I may put, again, $20,000 into a property, but have a total equity buffer when I'm done adding value through the renovations of $50,000, right? 20 is mine, and 30 is equity capture. I've created that just out of thin air through the process. So we've got a huge buffer if the market does shift. And if we see that train coming, and Dell warns us, we say, let's get off the track, I can sell. Dell told us years ago, sell. Now's the time to sell your dogs. Get rid of those. Some people did, some people didn't. But if you've got that huge equity buffer in your house, you're protected. You're not going to lose the principal. And it goes beyond that because we are cash flow positive. We don't do the investment if we can't make the cash flow. And if we are cash flow positive, well, whatever the market is doing, we can just hold on through to the other side. And that's what a lot of savvy investors did during the Great Recession back in 06, 07, 08. They just held through. And they were rewarded on the backside when values just went through the roof. And that's the other thing. We're really not sitting, number three, we're not sitting on these investments for an eternity, right? We're getting in, we're capturing that equity, we're enjoying that cash flow, we're enjoying the equity buildup because my residents are making that rent payment every month and I pay the mortgage from that. We do have debt on this. That's why I have $20K invested and not $200,000 because we do use financing. But I get that equity buildup every month as the resident pays down my mortgage, and there is market appreciation. Sometimes crazy market appreciation. Austin, Texas, a couple years ago, 30%. Here in Dallas, I've had markets that went up 20%. Commonly, it's 3 to 5%. Steady Eddie. But it's growing. It's growing. And over a hold period, we gain equity. And then we sell that in a year and a day. Why in a year and a day? Because we get beyond earned income tax rates and into capital gains tax rates, more favorable. Maybe we hold it for 2 years. Maybe we hold it for 3 years. We don't want to go terribly long because then maintenance, capital expenditures, new roof, things like that start to come back around. It's not an issue initially because we've gone out and fixed everything during those renovations. But rental houses are superior for those reasons. We have time to make those moves before whatever crash comes. We make our own economies because we buy right, and we don't stay in it forever. We cash out that equity, and we reinvest. So that's why real estate. This portability issue with 401ks, you know, I view that more as a nuisance, right? And I go back to the effectiveness of the asset. And houses, rental real estate, residential rental real estate are simply, it's simply more effective because we do make money multiple ways. We make money multiple ways, and we can do this across the nation. Remember, all real estate is local. That house is not going anywhere, but you can. Live where you want, invest where it makes sense, and take advantage of those multiple ways we make money. And get out there and build your financial freedom. Remember, it's not the money, though. It's the lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.